Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is our paranormal afterlife, and I'm your host, Simon Bowne. And please look out for the remastered episodes that are released every Friday. This week, I'm talking to Barbara Banner about mediumship and the afterlife. Barbara has trained with some of the world's most renowned psychic, mediumship, and trance mentors. She is a certified medium with the Helping Parents Heal organization and with Mark Ireland's Certified Medium listing. Hi, Barbara. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast.
My pleasure, Simon.
So we're going to talk about your mediumship and everything you've done. But the first thing I wanted to ask is there a history of mediumship in your family?
Well, I didn't know about it. It came to me during the pandemic. And up until then, I thought I had a little juju, but I didn't really know anything. So I went to tell my mother, and she was 104, and I thought she might have a heart attack right then and there. Anyway, I told her that I'm a medium now, and I'm talking to Dad, and I said, I didn't know if I could tell you or not. She goes, are you kidding me? I used to go to card readers and psychics and tarot readers with your grandmother. She had her own juju. People would line up to see what she had to say. I said, Mom, you're 104. When are you going to tell me? So, and then I heard from other channelers that I've been doing it for centuries. And that's why when I started, I was up and running in like 7 months, hung a shingle. So, yes, it's been in my past, but nobody talked about it.
So you say you had some kind of juju when you were younger. How did that come about? Did you see or hear spirits or something?
I did not see spirits. When I was about 13 or 12, I just have always felt that I was a little different, a little looking in, and I felt I was really psychic, that I would know things and have intuitions, and I didn't really know what to call it. So I told my girlfriends, I think I'm a witch. That's the only thing I knew at that point, but I had always been since then interested in the paranormal and all the ghost shows and all the old time mediums like Sylvia Brown. And so it's always fascinated me, and now I know why.
So what happened? What changed it? Was there some one thing that kind of blew you open and suddenly you had all this ability?
Well, I didn't know I had the ability, but there was something that my house turned into, a paranormal activity center. I had things flying off the shelves. I had orbs flying around in my video. I was doing a little audition video, and then in the den and in my office, in my bedroom, the fans went on simultaneously, not by us, and the lights were flashing at the same exact time. So, and the light in my fan didn't have a bulb. I had taken it out before, so that got my attention. And I just said, okay, spirit is definitely calling me, and who am I not to answer? And then I signed up for a mediumship class. And on my first meditation that I ever did, I saw my dad. So I thought, this is easy. I didn't know it's been in the family. So I said, okay, I like this. So that's what happened. My house just went crazy.
Was it scary? Did you ever think it might be something negative?
No, I didn't. I just didn't feel that. I just felt it was all good. It was all good. And then I realized why I had been pushed into all of these volunteer positions that actually were divinely guided for me to be a medium.
Yeah, because you were in a crisis response team. Is that right?
Yes, I was on a women's crisis hotline and on the city's crisis response team, where I went to scenes where there was a deceased body on the scene, and the police were there, and the family came And the police didn't have time to help the family. So that's what I was there for, and a team member, to support them on the worst day of their lives with one of their loved ones, you know, covered up with a sheet.
And when you were on that kind of scene, did you ever get communication with the deceased?
No, I didn't. And they knew that I couldn't do that on the job. Okay, so it wasn't, they just knew that this was work. Don't come here. I can't pay any attention to you. The city would not be pleased having somebody reading or talking about that to family members who may not believe in it or think I'm the devil. I was just there to help them and listen to them and give them some resources, and that's it. But now they come at 3 a.m. when they want to give me some evidence or a download. And I said, if you're going to come at 3 and wake me up, it better be good. Okay. So they brought me some very good stuff in the middle of the night. So
could you give us an example of what may have come through in the middle of the night?
Okay. I had a client come, and her husband had commit suicide, and she was so skeptical. I mean, everything that this was her first foray into this. Everything I said was, well, you could have read that in the papers. Well, you know, you could have heard that, you know, on the news. Well, you could have, and you know, I was being graded like I was in the Olympics, you know, with a number, and I knew I was not going on the podium. Okay, so it was really uncomfortable, and you can't. I personally, it throws me off. But she was asking me things like, what were we wearing 3 days before he died? I don't know. Not what we're here. Anyway, so he shows me a half of a toasted bagel. And it had been scooped out, save 5 calories of dough, and then put in 3,000 calories of something else. And he just left that with me. He just showed me that, and off he went. So I gave her a call, and I knew it was him. So I said, your husband was here, and this is what he showed me. I said, do you have any idea what it means? She said, not at all. She goes, why are you bothering me about this? It's crazy. Everyone eats bagels and scoops them out. I said, okay, just beware that I said that. Anyway, a week later, she gets in touch with me. She goes, you're not going to believe this. She said, I went to my husband's parents' house, and you know, his father had said, I invented a product. And I've got a prototype, and I'm going to see if you know what it is. So he brings her out some contraption. I don't know. And she says, I have no idea what that is. He said, it's a bagel scooper. So they were just dumbfounded. I mean, obviously, who comes up? I didn't even know there was a bagel scooper kind of thing. Anyway, she became a believer after that.
So with her being in the sitting with you and being that kind of negative thing, does that bring down the whole kind of frequency for you?
Absolutely. And, you know, we're taught it's never the client's fault. But it's, you know, every action causes a reaction. And when someone's saying, what color were my pajamas last night? That's, you know, we're not here for applause. We're here to connect and give people peace and help them. So it derails me, and that's just who I am. And maybe some people could just go through it, but we were also taught that there's three legs to a stool, and you have to have all three working for it to hold you. And that's spirit, the medium, and the client. And if one of those is off, something's going to be off. So it just sort of puts you in a defensive mood, you know, for me. And it doesn't work for me. So I try to stay away from that. We love our clients who are open and just, you know, believe and just are fascinated with everything. Not saying, you know, the glass is definitely half empty with some people. And it's hard. They're in grief. They're in shock. I get it. I'm not blaming anybody, but it does affect my reading.
So when a client shows up, do you have I don't know, almost like a script, a brief that you always tell every client at the beginning of a session?
I send them a document. When they sign up, they automatically get a confirmation email, and it is the Zoom link and password, and is also a PDF that has what to bring and what to do before your meeting, and it also has a page and a half of what to expect in a mediumship reading, which says, if you are waiting to get the code word that you and your husband had, or this, you could be very disappointed. You know, you don't know what spirit's going to bring, and we're not in charge. And that, let it go and be open to what you're going to receive, because spirit knows what you need to hear. And they don't always give you what you want to hear. So they know. And then I also give them a resource sheet. So when we're done, to help them connect on their own. So they don't have to come to a medium all the time, but they could see that their loved ones are there. And then I give them a document on the afterlife, which is wonderful. And it just opens them up. Oh, I always wondered what happened there. It gives them a little more background, so they're not just coming in without knowing anything.
So would you also tell them how much feedback you want? Because I suppose if they give you too much feedback, it looks like you're not bringing any evidence through.
I say, I'm going to be giving you evidence and validation of what you already, feel yourself. And if I say something that you don't understand, please tell me. I said, spirit cannot make a mistake, but I can. I'm human. So if I say something you don't quite understand, just say it. I don't really understand that now, because sometimes they'll get it, when the session is over, or when they go home and ask their mother, did Aunt Louise really only have three toes? Oh, yeah. Didn't you know? So there's things that they'll find out later. I did have someone call me a year and a half later to apologize for saying I was crazy for telling him he had a secret sister. And his father showed him a picture and he goes, who's that woman? She said, well, you have a secret sister. So it can come at any time. And I said, if you're really excited about something, you could say a few words. I say, but here's how it works. If I tell you your grandmother waddled when she walked, you could say, yes, she was so bow-legged. And then I say, but do not tell me that she lost an arm in a wood chipper, in 1989. I don't want to know that. If she wants me to know, she'll tell me. So I give it to them in a way they understand. Okay, if I say something, you could say a few words about it. I need a blank slate. I want to make sure that everything that comes out of my mouth is in spirit and not from something they told me. So if they start yapping, I say, stop, stop.
Is there a thing where you only ask them for their first name before they show up or something? So, because people will say, oh, well, they had your full name. The mediums looked you up on Facebook and they know all about you.
Well, that sounds like the skeptic. They can put whatever name they want in there. That's fine. Anything I know is going to work against me. That's who I am. I don't want to know anything. I don't want my brain to get involved. I need my information just from spirit. And listen, before they book me, they can look me up and see that, I'm the real deal. I don't think I have ever looked anybody up to see anything about them. I can't, that throws me off as someone who's skeptical. And for whatever reason, I don't remember what was said in yesterday's readings. They all meld into one. So I can't even, if someone comes for a second time, I say, I don't remember anything about this person. So I'm just starting from scratch here. And they'll know what they said. So obviously they'll give me different things. So that's how it works with me. I don't want to know. So don't tell me.
To me, it seems like a crazy idea. But they think mediums have got hours and hours to sit down and check people out on Facebook and write down loads of details.
Yeah, that's crazy. You know what? There are people that would do that. You know, you have to be very careful who you get, and hopefully they're certified with a good organization. I am certified with Helping Parents Heal, one of the finest organizations for people who've lost a child at any age, and Find a Certified Medium with Mark Ireland, who was also one of the founders of Helping Parents Heal. But they need to do the homework, okay? I don't want to do any homework. I'm exhausted at the end of the day already.
Okay, so you're certified, but what do you have to do to become certified?
You have to get a certain amount. They give you 5 different sitters, people who will come and you'll have to read them. They pick 5 people that they know, and the sitter rates you. They give you points for the different information you give them. You know, something that's broad, it might be worth 5 points. Something you tell them that, you know, they have their gold baby shoes on the desk with them, that could be 20 points, whatever the points are. So you have to do a certain amount of points in each reading or combined so that the organization knows it's just not a lucky day, that it is consistent. I didn't pass the first time. I have test anxiety. It makes me so nervous. So, but the second time I said, I am not letting my test anxiety get in the way this time. And I just plowed through, and yeah, I passed. So it was tough. It was tough. It was nerve-wracking.
So how does this stuff come to you? Because there's the 5 Clairs, isn't there? Do you work with or 2 of them?
I see spirit. I feel spirit. I hear spirit. I can do trance, so I can speak their words or have them speak their words. And they also move me. You know, they've got me doing things with my arms, and it looks like I'm rowing a boat or whatever. They can move me. And some of the things are very funny that I end up doing. Once in a while, I can smell something, but not often. Once I smelled a pot roast, that's all I can tell you. I don't smell a lot of things. And I don't taste. So I think that's all the clairs. So I got most of them, but smelling, the really important stuff.
So how does trance work for you? Is it a thing where you maybe, it's almost like you're unconscious, or are you still aware of everything?
I get into an altered state. You know, I sort of sink down, like you were going to go into meditation, but it's a different way of meditating. And the first words to get me started just keep playing over and over in my head. And then I speak them, and then I'm gone, you know, and then they talk. I can sometimes hear what I'm saying, but I don't, when I get out of it, I don't remember hardly anything. I mean, it is just, that wasn't me speaking. I don't really remember if they say things like, oh, you said such and such, it'll sound a little familiar. Or if I say something crazy, it might wake me up. So yeah, it's being in an altered state, that's for sure. The last thing anyone wants to hear is my opinion. This is from spirit. I usually ask them, who would you like to come from? We've had your mother, we've had your father, and they'll tell me who they want the message from. Or it could be from their higher self.
So that sounds almost like possession or something. Was it difficult at first to trust that you were going to get your body back, so to speak?
I fought it. In fact, when I went to the Arthur Findlay College in England, which is AKA the real Hogwarts, in one of our classes, we had a trance. And I'm working with a teacher, and I just keep waking myself up the minute I feel like I'm losing control. She goes, "Trance is not for you. You can't do it." So it really, really was hard for me when I got back, because I wanted to do it. It's cool. I had to work on it, and my guides, they knew I couldn't like get over the chasm that I would have to go over. It looked like a drop down to like 5,000 feet or something, and I couldn't trust to go over there. So my guides literally, they came and held me and flew me over this wide chasm to the other side. And then I was okay. Then I trusted. But it took a while before you really trust. That's like the last thing that comes for me. Because sometimes I have pretty funny guides, and they give me really some crazy stuff. And I sometimes say, "How can I say that?" And then I just have to, and it they take it. So I've learned to trust.
And when you're doing trance, does your voice change?
I like some people can sound like Winston Churchill or Minnie Mouse. I don't know. My voice is different in that I talk softer and it's a different cadence. It's more staccato than I would talk. And if there's anything flowery that they say, people know I am not a flowery person. So it's things I might not say. Well, I definitely wouldn't say. It's different, but I'm not. Most people don't really go into some devil voice or something. It's me, but it's not how I talk normally.
Could you give us an example of something really good that came through?
Like I said before, sometimes when I'm in trance and I something comes out that somehow clicks into me, like that's really weird. Then I'll give you one. When I was practicing, when I was doing some practices with my mentor and my guides, whatever, I'm talking, and I have a candle next to me. And all of a sudden I say, "Let's get some chocolate and marshmallows and make s'mores." That's so out of what I would be saying in a trance about somebody or giving somebody guidance. As it was coming out of my mouth, I said, "They're testing me." And my mentor said, "Yes, they were testing you to see if I trusted," and said it. Our team is with us. They're helping us. And sometimes they push us to say things that I wouldn't say in the middle of a trance. "Let's make s'mores." Okay, that was crazy. I remember something just sort of wake me up. Somebody said, "And I'm still making origami." Okay. And I thought, what's that doing in this trance? When I came out of it, they said, "You said something. You said something about origami." And I said, I felt like I said something. What did that mean anything? She said, "You have no idea. My daughter was in the hospital and she was making origami for us. And the day before she passed," it's not a lot of specifics usually, because everybody who has a soul has all the information in themselves. They just have to learn how to get it out. So spirit isn't always, excited about telling you what your purpose in life is, because you've got free will and you can change it. You just have to know what excites you, what your passion is, and go for it.
So does anything physical happen, like physical mediumship?
I mean, not like there's no ectoplasm coming out of me, or I have friends who do really physical mediumship, but they do make me do different movements with my body. which are part of the message, that are can be a little crazy, and I just do them, and it's very funny. I'll tell you one. I said to a daughter, and we had her mother in spirit, and I start waving my arms around crazy, just like I said, why do I feel like I'm swatting away a bee or something? And then I go even crazier and I'm doing it with my hands. You know, I'm looking like an idiot. She goes, I walked into the backyard this morning and a bee was like getting on me and I was trying to get rid of it. So I was flailing and then I run into the front yard to get away and I go smack into this giant spider web. And then I really go insane. And I said, well, your mom was there and she saw the whole thing. And the client goes, her daughter goes, oh, my God, I'm so embarrassed. So they can do things with me. And I don't know what I'm doing. I just do it. I just do it.
Do you ever get a spirit show up that's unexpected? Not like if something negative, but if you're in trance or if you're having a reading and somebody shows up who is just nothing to do with the sitter.
Well, we believe that if somebody shows up, they do have something to do with the sitter. Now, sometimes we get two people that like the dueling grandmothers kind of thing, you know, where they want to get their 15 minutes in. And I always try to separate them because it's just a little disjointed to have a list of evidence for this one and that one. And I do say at that point, I said, look, and I look to the spirits and I say, this isn't open mic night. Let's keep it to, you know, what we need. Not really. There, sometimes somebody will butt in that gives me a name of somebody who's alive. And when they do, I tell the sitter, you know, your uncle popped in to say the name Brenda. Do you know one? Yes, it's my sister-in-law. I said, well, and then I go into a little psychic thing and say there's something going on with her. I see her, you know, like huddled under the covers, very depressed. And your uncle just would like you to check in on her. And that happens, you know, regularly, not all the time, but, you know, one out of 10 or 15 readings, I'll have a message to give the client about somebody who is alive. And there's always something going on with them that they need. Sometimes they just need a phone call to know somebody cares about them. So, and otherwise, I'm not great at names. I have to say it. I sometimes it's really hit or miss with me. Usually if it's a weird name, I could get it. If it's John, forget it. Someone will say, who's Mordecai? That's my grandfather. Okay. Or Billy Bob. Oh, that's my uncle. It's, you know, John, Steve, Rick, forget it. It's just, it goes by me. And some people are fabulous at names.
So what is the process there or the mechanics of that, that you're not quite getting the name? I'd like to try and understand what's actually going on when the information comes to you.
Well, obviously the information doesn't come to me if I would like someone's name because you get to the meat faster. So they know, oh, okay, that's who it is. But a lot of mediums, when the client is there, they'll say, let's see who comes. And I, after my last stint at Arthur Findlay College, say, I like to cut to the chase. I like you to tell me who is the person you want to hear most or see most. And just tell me what their relationship is to you. And I'm going in like a Scud missile. Because sometimes you get somebody like a great, great grandmother that you don't even know. So I would be giving you information that you can't validate and it doesn't really help. So I want them to I want them to have the person that they really, really want to see. And I said, and there's time at the end for a couple of drive-bys, you know, if you want to see your grandmother as well or your aunt. So yeah, I want them to get who they really, really want to connect with. And they usually come. They're usually the first. I don't want to know their name. It doesn't matter. Names are useless for your spirit. They don't need it. So yeah, I go for who they really want to connect with.
My book, titled Verified Near-Death Experiences, is out on Amazon. I've gathered accounts where something happened that could be checked, verified in the real world, details seen and heard when a person was, by all medical standards, gone. I wanted to focus only on those cases where there was evidence, not just stories. The book has had over 50 five-star reviews worldwide, this one from the United States. I have read more than 25 books and watched countless videos, and this book still had new stories. I love the fact that it focused on only verifiable experiences. This is an easy read and great for those needing proof. If you're searching for careful documentation, honest accounts, and stories that may just shift your understanding of life and what may follow, I invite you to read Verified Near-Death Experiences. Verified Near-Death Experiences is available on Amazon, on paperback, audiobook, and on Kindle. What do you think is the biggest misunderstanding people have about mediumship?
A good question. I think a lot of people who aren't spiritual, they think that we're here to answer. And I do. I have a Q&A in mind. I let people, because always somebody's got some things they want to hear. And a lot of people think that they can ask anything and we'll have the answer. They'll come with code words. They'll come with one piece of information that they really want to hear. And that if we can't perform, that we're not any good, or that it may not be their loved one. No matter how, you can give them 10 pieces of really good information that's specific. And if they don't have the one that you want to hear, then they're skeptical again. I'll tell you something that just happened recently. I had this woman who's, let me see who passed for her. Oh, her daughter. Her daughter had passed. And I gave her, you know, so many pieces of information. And then I said, let me do trance, because she goes, I want a gold nugget. I want something that is so, that's just between me and her, and nobody in the world knows it. And I said, let's see what they give you. I'm not in charge here. We went over it afterwards. And she said, you gave me, I said, she's showing me she's playing hopscotch, and she's, you know, doing jump rope, and she's like dancing to records. And she said, well, that's not a gold nugget. That's what everyone does. And so I said, your daughter's giving me everything that seems normal. And when I said the word normal, she like caught her breath. That was the gold nugget. Because she said her daughter would tell her, Mom, I just want to be like normal, like a normal kid. Obviously, she had some physical challenges and couldn't, you know, do a lot. And that's just something that was deep in her mother's heart, that's what she wanted. She didn't want pretty clothes. She didn't want anything. She just wanted to be normal. So we never know what that word is. We don't know, but Spirit knew. And that changed the whole the whole energy of the reading when she got that, because she knew it was her daughter, because that's all her daughter wanted, was to be normal.
Do you ever do mediumship work that's not about sitting with someone and giving evidential messages? Is there other work that you could do as a medium?
Well, I do groups sometimes, but I don't want to go to some, you know, the Madison Square Gardens and have like a lot of people. That's too much pressure. I don't want pressure. Well, I've helped people. Some people come to me to get some information that they don't have about a passing, like what really happened. Some people, I had a woman who was a doctor, and they could not find a cause of death for her son, who was, I don't know, in his 20s. And there was no drugs in his body. They, you know, his organs were okay. They couldn't put a name on it. And she had been going to lots of different people to try to find out what happened. And it's interesting that when it comes to somebody's passing, they show me how they looked at the end. Almost like you would see the white line drawing from a police on this pavement of the position they were. Anyway, so this her son was showing me that the way he fell on the floor, like fell back, and that he was shaking. He was like convulsing. I said, I feel like he had a seizure. And I'm getting goosebumps now when I saw that. And I said, would a seizure show up in an autopsy? And she said, no. So, and she was really feeling that that might be it. That might be what I'm looking for. So a lot of people come to me for that, or this, you know, my brother disappeared and what do you see? Yeah, those kind of things. But listen, everyone has their own strengths. There are people who just do missing persons or are just really fabulous at that. You know, go to the second rock and turn left and then dig under the azalea plant. I don't get that specific, but I can get a background, or there's a hill that I feel like he slid down, or he's in a cave, or those kind of things. So people come for all different reasons. Most of the time it's because they miss their loved one and they don't feel them around them. And as much as I can say they're always with you, some people just want proof. And I've gotten some really crazy questions of proof, that they want proof. I have a woman who comes every year and she puts me through the ringer, but I love her. She said, I have not felt my husband in 6 months. And he might have a girlfriend. I'm really worried about that. I have not felt anything. And I said, he's around you. I'm telling you, he's around you. She said, if he's really around me, he'll be able to tell me what TV show I binge watched over the pandemic. And I thought to myself, okay, I just said this to myself. I don't think I'm going to be able to come up with that one. Anyway, the husband was there and he said, it's Outlander. So I said that to her and she said, that was it. And all of a sudden, from this depressed woman who was just beside herself with grief and jealousy, and she was concocting all sorts of things in her head, she said, you have no idea how you've helped me today, because it just reinforces that even if I don't feel my husband around me, he's still around me. And so, because I always say when they give me one of those, you know, can you tell me? I say spirit will give you what you need to hear today, not always what you want to hear. And I realized, just always ask, you know, I always ask them. And if they give it to me, great. If they don't, that's the way it is. But this woman really needed it. Really needed it. I have another woman who, her husband died recently. And I gave her a reading and everything she could understand. And it was going beautifully and she was feeling great. And then at the very end, her husband, literally, I was ready to sign off. The husband says, tell her about the necklace. And I said, your husband wants me to call attention to a necklace, but she was wearing like a turtleneck or a sweater. I said, do you know what he's talking about? And she started sobbing. And she, from her collar, she pulled up a necklace. And on the end of it was his wedding ring. She said, I told my husband, if it's really you, mention the necklace. And so he did. So they know what you want. And those kind of things are, I love that. But, and I love that they don't just say it to me. Because if they had said, what is my husband going to, what's our secret that we had before we opened the session? Then my head's going to get involved. It's like, okay, I'm thinking, you know, and I don't want to think. I just want spirit to give it to me. So, and when people sneak in a test, it usually works. But if they ask me to come up with something that's, you know, obtuse or ridiculous, it may not work. So that's just because it gets into my head.
You mentioned earlier that you did this in past lives. What did you find out about that?
We forget our past lives when we reincarnate. Otherwise, it would be very difficult. I've had some past lives come to me in a meditation with somebody who does past lives, and somebody else who also does past lives gave me some other information. But in none of them did I see myself being a medium. And I did not see myself being burned at the stake for being a witch. So whatever they gave me was limited in, you know, in the scope of what I did. So you're the master of that. Let's just say we didn't go deep. I got a bunch of them that was, you know, like I was an Indian, a Native American woman who died in childbirth. Okay, I was a barkeep, during the Revolutionary War or something. I was a lady being forced to marry an old crotchety old guy. I was this, I was that. But as I said, it didn't go deep. It wasn't like I was on somebody's couch and was there for an hour. It was short little things where I came back. And it was very interesting with the Native American, because out of the blue, when I was in high school, they said, you know, pick a PE class. And I didn't want to get my hair messy in high school. So I picked archery. Well, you know, within like 3 weeks, I was the top archer in the entire high school. I had never picked up a bow and arrow in my life. And as for shooting a gun, because, you know, I practice, the paper that you shoot and see where the bullets went, they're all in the heart. How do I do that? That is something from a past life. That's probably from being a good shot with a bow and arrow. You tell me, how do you pick this up?
I wish I knew. It's one of those things, isn't it? It seems to come through, but is it an accident it's come through, or was it on purpose? We just don't know.
It's interesting. Well, they say, like, if you get a little three-year-old kid who's never played the piano before and just fools around, and he hears somebody humming, and all of a sudden he can play that. He might have been Mozart. I mean, it doesn't, these gifts, they see our DNA from the stuff seeps down. That's why I say you really take after your dad, and they're not talking about, you know, your big nose. There's a lot of things that come to us, good and bad, from our past lives. So, and sometimes if it's a bad thing, if you go back and fix it, and like relive it, then maybe you'll fix it. You're familiar with Brian Weiss and, you know, one life, many masters kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, and that I learned, that was the first book I ever read on spirituality and things like that. The woman who had pain in her shoulder for her whole life. It was like her weak spot. And in the past lives, she was a soldier and got hit in the shoulder with a bayonet. And once he took her through and she passed and all that stuff, her shoulder was fine. Why does that happen? Tell me.
It seems to be some kind of energy coming through, or some kind of imprint. Because they are children that remember past lives, and they'll have bath
yes.
marks that relate to an injury in the past life.
Yes, children who remember them. Well, they say that kids can see and remember till they're about 5 or 6. Like they can see orbs, they can sense spirit. I guess they don't have any filters, or they're not skeptical at that age. It's just they just have that sensitivity.
I wanted to ask you about signs and feathers. Is there a thing with feathers or a big sign that can come through?
Feathers are a sign. A little wink from spirit, and bugs like butterflies or dragonflies or even a bee, something with a very simple neurological system that spirit can get in, like they make me do motions with my hands and arms. They can get in and circle around you while you're sitting in a chair. That a normal butterfly wouldn't do if they weren't possessed. So bugs are good, and butterflies are big. And it's such a nice sign to get. Lights flashing, dimming, flickering, TVs going on and off, anything to do with energy, because we just turn into energy. And like a song playing on the radio where it shouldn't be, you know, you might be listening to country and Rock Around the Clock comes out, or something that your loved one had a meaning to you. And I say, if you hear a song that is meaningful, go Google the lyrics, because there's a message in there for you. You just have to go get it. If you keep waking up in the middle of the night, write down or look up, let's say, if I woke up at 3:26, I would grab my phone, put in 3:26 angel number, and it would give me a message of what that means. And these things are not just random. It's synchronicity. They are trying to connect with you. And they can be very tenacious. My daughter was getting some feathers from her grandmother. And one night, she had a friend, a sorority friend, sleepover. My daughter walked into the kitchen, and on the kitchen floor was a white feather, a big white feather. And her friend walked in. She goes, "Where did you get that? I saw that on the floor last night. You were asleep. And I threw it in the trash. I thought it was trash." And she said, "And then I came back into the kitchen a little later, and it was on the floor again. And the trash can had an electric top. It's not like it could." And then she said, "That feather I had put in the trash 3 times last night, and it kept showing up on the floor." Well, I didn't know they could do that. You know, it was they wanted to make a connection to my daughter, and they were going to keep jumping out of that trash can until she's the one who found it. Amazing. Spirit is amazing.
I had something similar like that happen with feathers.
Oh, yeah? Tell me.
I've told this before on the podcast. I was interviewing somebody who was talking about angels and saying that sometimes they have feathers for you. And the next day I was walking down the street and this feather just floated down in front of me. And
right.
I thought of the interview the night before, but I didn't think much of it. And a few weeks later, I was interviewing a medium and I said to her, you know, there was this thing with a feather and it fell out of the sky. And she goes, oh yeah, feathers are a sign. And
yeah.
We finished the interview and I went to my daughter's bedroom to talk to her. And she was very tidy. And right in the middle of the floor was a feather.
Feather, yeah.
And I said to her, where did that come from? And she just said, oh, I don't know. And I thought, oh, okay. And then weeks later, I'm at this medium house and I'm sitting opposite her and we're in these big armchairs and she was doing her mediumship for about an hour. And then afterwards, I was explaining to her this thing with feathers and she just says, look on the floor. And there's a feather on the floor in between us. And
wow.
It had not been there the whole hour that she
right.
was doing the mediumship. And neither of us got up or did anything.
Right. Yeah. Feathers are big.
I kind of wondered if the spirit guides or somebody were trying to get a message to me. And they tried the first two times. And it's like they were slapping their foreheads. What do we got to do to get through to this guy? But eventually they did get through to me.
What was the message? Was there a message or just like, I love you and we're around you? I mean, it doesn't have to be, you left your keys, they're under the bed. And it can just be, we're around you and we love you. And we're here. It doesn't have to be a big message. It's just like a little poke, a little wink that they're around. I tell people coins, finding coins are another way they let you know they're around. And I told this woman, because I said, I see coins and you just sort of, step over them. I said, don't step over them, pick them up. And then look at the date. It could be an important date for you, like your mother's birth year or yours or someone's angel day. So she got in touch with me several days later. She goes, I found a quarter and it was like somewhere that I'd never seen it before. And I don't know how it got there. And I said to myself, remember, Barbara said, check the date. Because when she was with me on the reading, we had her grandfather. So she said, I checked the date and it was the year my grandfather died. So yeah, there's signs that look up times, look up anything that comes to you. As a sign that you can't quite explain thing or why is 444 always everywhere. It's on billboards for me. It's on license plates. Just look it up because it might be a message for you right then and there that day. Like follow your intuition. It's going to lead you down the right path. Maybe you had an intuition that you wanted and were wondering if it's real or so do it. That's your sign to do it. I also like doing question and answer where the first question I sort of Shanghai it, I take it and I say, I don't want to know the question. Just come up with a question about your loved one, like knowing what you want to do, giving you some advice, that they're around you, that kind of thing. And I'll tell you what they're showing me. So that way my head can't get involved. I don't want to know. So I said, well, your dad is showing me that you should like go to Africa. I'm getting all these visuals and work on a game preserve for elephants. And I thought, okay, she's going to think I'm crazy. She goes, yesterday, because one of the things she wanted to know in that session was what could her purpose in life be? What would make her happy? I said, well, you know that in your heart. She said, I actually said to myself, I should go to Africa and work on a preserve for elephants. She said, I love elephants. So it's cool when you don't know the question and you just give, and they just give you the answer. So I loved that one. And so now she felt, I'm going to really check that out now, because she got it twice in her own head. And spirit puts things in our head. You know, we're not that smart so often. They'll tell you, they'll guide you. I said, if you always go down Avenue A to get home, and somehow you're like, today I think I'm going to take Avenue B. Do it. Do it. I've had people say they took a shortcut or a long cut, and they found out later that a gas tanker truck blew up on Avenue A. Just follow your intuition. It's not just you. It's your loved ones that are protecting you and helping you.
Well, it's been great talking to you. Could you give us your web address so people know how to find you?
Yes. It's been wonderful talking to you too, Simon. It's Banner Medium, B-A-N-N-E-R, medium.com. And I put lots of little snippets of fun things that happen in my readings on TikTok and Facebook and Instagram, and in the back of my website also. So, and you can also book there.
Do you do this on Zoom? So can anybody in the world book with you?
And I have people, Kuala Lumpur, Turkey, Germany, everywhere, all over the place. Lots of from the UK. But in the UK, you guys have quite a few phenomenal mediums. I don't know why anyone needs to go out of town for that. But all over.
Fantastic. Well, thanks again for coming on the podcast.
Well, thank you as well. It's really been a lot of fun.
This week, I was talking to Barbara Banner about mediumship and the afterlife. A great way to support the podcast is to join Patreon, where you'll get access to the extended version of these episodes. The Patreon episodes are ad-free and are released 2 days before the free versions, and you can sign up for a 7-day free trial. You can become a patron by going to patreon.com/ourparanormalafterlife, or click on the Patreon button on my homepage at pastliveshypnosis.co.uk. The links are in the show notes. And my book, titled Verified Near-Death Experiences, is on Amazon. You can get it on paperback, audiobook, or Kindle. And if you enjoy this episode, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.